sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please, would you like to sit down? And so we welcome Stephen, who's here on behalf of Compassion, to speak to us this morning.
Thank you very much, and good morning to you all. It is a delight to be here with you. Can everybody hear me all right? Yeah, okay, brilliant. I'm really delighted that I've been asked to come here, and today is a celebration of the work that Compassion do, and so I want to say thank you, which is on the next slide. Unfortunately, the clicker to advance the slides doesn't work, so I'm going to have to prompt people to move the slide on. But the first thing I want to do is say a great big thank you, not only for inviting me here, but also for the amazing support that you as a church and people connected to this church do for Compassion and for the children that are sponsored by Compassion. And I'll talk a little bit more about what Compassion do. But there are six children that are sponsored by five people connected with this church, and that is absolutely amazing. And I must thank you so much. I don't work for Compassion. I am a volunteer, and I got involved with them in 2009 when our church decided it wanted to do something outside of this country in support of the wider world. And we decided to sponsor some children from Ghana, it turned out to be. And amazingly, and it's another story which would take a long time to tell, but we ended up sponsoring 18 children from Ghana, either from the church directly, from their funds, or from people connected with the church. 18 children in Ghana. And one of those is a little boy, which we might see in a minute. We can go on one more slide. Can we go one more on? No, okay, one more on. There you go, there he is. A lad called Ebenezer, or his Ghanaian name is Adaf, and we started sponsoring him back in 2009 when he was five. Very timid, almost frightened looking lad there. And then on the other side, a strapping 18-year-old who is doing all sorts of great things at school. He's the secretary of the English Society at his school, and involved learning how to be a barber, writes us some wonderful letters, and is a real joy to have as part of our extended family. Although there is one thing I have to admit that I would change if I could, and that's to say he's a Manchester United supporter. All that way out in Ghana, and he supports Manchester United. Nobody's perfect. Sorry, can you go back two slides? I'm sorry, I'm jumping around. That's it. No doubts you were familiar with the passage from John that was read by Jay earlier on, and it reminds me that we all need to listen for the voice of God, the voice of Jesus as our shepherd, The sheep know his voice and they follow him. When I was 39, so only a few years ago, start again. When I was 39, a long time ago, I made a decision to go through the gates. If we can use that analogy from the reading. At the time, I described myself as sitting on the fence, but I think I'd made it to the gate, but I hadn't gone through. I'd been brought up as a Christian by two faithful parents, for whom I'm very, very thankful. Even when I didn't want to go to Sunday school and to church, they made me go along, and for that I'm very, very thankful. But at 39, I had to decide whether all this stuff around Jesus and God was important to me or not. And through a number of coincidences, I think miracles, I ended up in an Alpha course that I wasn't intending to be at, and ended up committing my life to Christ, even though I'd been a Christian ever since I'd been a little boy. I didn't think the Alpha course was for me, didn't need it. I didn't think I needed a shepherd to follow. I had other things. And the reading that we heard earlier talked about thieves and robbers. There were other thieves and robbers who were talking to me about other things that were important in my life and making me think they were more important than loving my God. Things like just getting on in life and being successful, but in a way that put me first and not God first. I was a keen footballer, played semi-professional football. That was the God that I worshipped, and many others. So at 39, I decided to commit my life to Christ, and I am so pleased that I did. 10 years later, here I was getting involved with Compassion as a volunteer and doing some other local charity work, and hopefully following the path, the way that Jesus was intending for me. So, next slide, please. What is compassion? Anybody who've heard of compassion, just can you put your hands up if you've heard of compassion before today? Most of you, that's good, or quite a few of you. So it's an international charity formed in the 1950s or thereabout, and basically it helps people to help children in countries that are struck by extreme poverty. Now, I know times are hard here. Energy prices, food prices, mortgages, rents, all going up extremely, extremely steeply. There are other people in other countries who are even more hard up than us, living on £1 less. The definition of extreme poverty is something like people who are living on less than £1.75 per day. That is virtually nothing. Having to bring up families and support older people in their families on that sort of money. So what compassion does is work with local churches in that country to help these young children and their families. So you'll see that it works in 25 different countries across a number of continents, works with over 8,000 churches, 2 million plus, over 2 million children are sponsored, and it did some wonderful stuff as well during the pandemic by providing food to much needed families. And then if you look at the size of the task, that figure in red, you may not be able to see it, but what it says is nearly 385 million children today are living in extreme poverty. 385 million. And that can't be right. That can't be the world that our God wants. So, next slide. The way that, compassion work is to sponsor children like these. And these pictures of the six children are sponsored by people connected with this church. There's two in Burkina Faso, one in Uganda, one in Indonesia, and one in Rwanda. I got that right? I think I have. If I missed anybody out. And the sponsors of those children have done an amazing thing for them. They will have changed those children's lives. Next slide, please. Four of them are boys, two are girls, four in primary school, one secondary, and one is an adult, a young adult. Some of the countries, you sponsor them right to the age of 22, others to 18. It varies country by country, strangely. But those are the children that are benefiting from the love that is shown from people connected to this church. Next slide, please. And those are the countries. Next slide. And I want to just say how compassion works, because it very much works with the local church. It identifies a local church in the area, and they provide the spiritual guidance, so they introduce children to Jesus. If they've not already know of him, they provide a Bible. But they also provide education, they provide health care, and they provide a safe environment to learn and to grow up. And I think that is the way that it's done locally. That is the way that it works, one of the reasons why it works so well. Next slide, please. And what you've done is, you can see there, allowed just under 6,000 hours for those six children to be involved in project work with the church. 6,000 hours, either with the church or the school or the healthcare. Nearly 2,000 meals, 34 medical checkups, and every one of them have got a Bible. Hallelujah. Next slide. And you've also given money. Over £2,000 in the last 12 months, and an additional gift, which might have been a Christmas gift or a birthday gift or whatever. So thank you on behalf of Compassion, on behalf of those children. Next slide, please. And some letters. So letters have been going backwards and forwards. 23 letters sent by the children, 19 received. So the children are winning just, 23, 19. But there's time to even that up. It is so important for children to get letters of encouragement, where you can ask them questions, where you can tell them what you're doing. It gives them hope. And going back to that reading from John, one of those robbers is poverty, robbing those children of hope. They live in a sense of hopelessness before compassion comes along. They have no idea how they're going to get out of their current situation. Sometimes some of them don't have food in a day. Now, I was talking to my son, who's a big, strapping 37-year-old, the other day, and we were talking about when we came back from school in the afternoon, even though we'd had a school lunch, the first thing we did was go to the larder and get some bread. So I must have had about four big slices of bread and peanut butter after I come back from school. And even then, I went on to have tea. And these children, some of them go without food all day. They don't eat on some days. Some days, that is, not Sunday, some days. So it's really important that they get from these letters, from the interaction, from the sponsorship, they get a sense of hope that actually things might change, that they might get fed, that they might be able to follow a dream of doing something for their community. And there's some lovely stories about people who have taken on positions of responsibility with their community and made a real difference to the other people around them. We'll come on to an example of that in a minute. Next slide, please. And I mean, I see videos from Compassion about the sorts of places that some of these children live. I don't know particularly the exact details for the six children sponsored through this church, but I see pictures of others where there are corrugated roofs that are leaking. There are people living in a shack that's got no heating. It's got open sewage flowing down the street outside the front door. And yet, if you see the pictures of them, they have got a smile on their face because they know that they are loved. They know that somebody cares for them. Next slide. And this gives you a sense of the hope that you bring to those children. It's a short video for about a minute. Your sponsorship brings hope. Next slide. Some of the children, I can remember this this video. I can remember this video of a minister saying that some of the children, he was absolutely aghast to hear that they had no dreams. They had no hopes. They had no dreams. They had no thing that they saw in the future that they might become, and yet, once they become part of the Compassion Project, that somehow changes. They learn new skills, like Adaf, the guy that we sponsor. He may become a barber one day, have his own barber's business. Something to dream about, something to follow, something to encourage him. This guy here, he's from Uganda, registered at Compassion when he was 9, studied civil engineering at Kampala University and trained to become a teacher. And that's a great quote. Compassion gave me the hope and the ability to dream, to say, this is what I want to be when I grow up. Next slide. So thank you again. I think it's all too easy to think that we can't do anything. But we can. We can be sponsors, we can encourage people, we can pray. It's not just about raising money, it is about prayer support as well. And I would hope that as a church that we can pray regularly here for those six children, because they're part of God's family along with us. I just want to finish with a quote from a reading from Romans. So this is Paul talking to the Romans and about how God wants to save the Israelites, and God wants to save all his family. But if children don't know about Jesus, haven't heard about Jesus, then how can they be saved? And that was what Paul was saying to the Romans. He was saying, how can they call him, as in the God's people, how can they call him for help if they've not believed? And how can they believe if they've not heard the message? And how can they hear if the message has not been proclaimed? And how can the message be proclaimed if the messengers are not sent out? The work of Compassion, the work support that you provide, sponsors provide, and the encouragement from the church as a whole, allow Jesus to be made known to those children as their shepherd. And hopefully they will follow him, follow the path through that gate and be part of his family, part of his loving family, with all that love and grace and mercy that he flows through to us forevermore. Next slide. So I'd got two more things to say. One is, I know times are hard, and it's £28 per month to sponsor these children. If anybody feels moved to consider sponsoring a child, there are five children here that I've got profiles for who are waiting to be sponsored. Hosiana from Tanzania, Keo from Brazil, Keith from Kenya, Ribera from Ethiopia, and Diana from Mexico. If anybody has got a sense that God might be asking them to sponsor those children, then do come and see me. £28 per month is not an insignificant amount of money, I realise that, but it is less than a cup of coffee a day. So, as I say, come and see me if you feel moved to sponsor those children. And finally, I'd like to invite you to pray with me for the work of compassion. So let us pray. So Father God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy and the love that you've shown, particularly through Jesus at Easter. And we ask you to bless the work of compassion, that they may make a difference to the lives of the young people throughout the world, people who are struggling against poverty. What can it be like for a parent to wonder how they're going to feed their children, to wonder how they're going to stop those children becoming parts of gangs and sex trafficking, because that's the only way they can see to move on in their lives. So we ask your word to be revealed to them, that they may know your love and your presence in their lives, that they may be cared for, and they may become the people that you always intended them to be, and they may follow your path with you as their shepherd forevermore. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Stephen will be joining us in the hall after the service if you'd like to learn more about the work.